Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Even Christians can fall into sin. That's made easy by today's media technology. We're tempted to give up, to let the world have its way. But the Bible offers us a path of restoration and forgiveness. Today, lessons from the book of Titus. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Turn now to Titus chapter 2 as Erwin Lutzer brings more of what grace teaches us.
Titus, and if you're using the Bible that is there in the seat ahead of you, it is actually Titus, page 998, and the book of Titus, chapter 2, is what we are looking at. Titus, chapter 2. And I clearly am confused with my notes here. And that's perfectly fine. That seldom happens, but in a contingent universe, anything is possible, except squeezing toothpaste back into a tube and the Cubs winning a World Series. In a contingent universe, anything is possible. I now have my notes straight. It's actually Titus chapter 2, and I'm picking it up at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Four lessons that grace teaches us. All lessons of hope and transformation. And as we shall see at the end of this message, doesn't matter who you are, there's hope for you. First of all, grace teaches us a lesson about forgiveness. A lesson of forgiveness. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody is saved. Of course not. The Apostle Paul sometimes uses language like that when he's talking about all different kinds of people. And of course, it's available to all people, but not received by all people, this grace. And what he means is it is available for all kinds of people. That is, despite the kind of sin that they are dealing with, and all of us deal with many different sins from time to time, whether theirs is this addiction or that addiction or no addiction, but just the whole garden variety sins, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So it's not only different kinds of sins, but there's no doubt that it also is the extent of sin, the depth of people's sin. Can you imagine this? Can the God of the universe institute salvation and not take into account the enormity of some people's sins? Of course not. Would he have a salvation that could not possibly be applied to a pedophile, for example? Would it be a salvation that could not possibly be applied to a murderer or to someone involved in some form of sexual sin? Did God cut them out because he says, I came to redeem all those who are basically good, but just need a little bit of redemption because of small nominal sins? Of course not. You know, and the Bible says in the book of Hebrews so clearly that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. That can be interpreted to mean to the uttermost, to all of eternity, or regarding the depth of their sin. He is able to save even to the guttermost those who come unto God by him. The issue is not the depth of your sin. We must concentrate on the wonder of the grace that saves the greatest of sinners. The grace of God has appeared for all different kinds of sinners. And for that, we should rejoice. There is no pit so deep, but that God is deeper still. Now, for those of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I realize that I'm speaking also to those who haven't, but if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, keep in mind that no matter how often you fall, you always have to bounce back. You have to bounce back. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. A number of years ago at Founders Week, there was a missionary who told this story. He said that he was on his way to a Bible study, to lead a Bible study. And he said along the way, strewn along his path on the sidewalk, were pornographic pictures and magazines. And he stopped to look and he gazed at these. And then he walked on to his Bible study. His conscience was telling him, don't you dare teach the Bible study. Who are you? What if the people saw you? So you call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a Bible student who can instruct others. Look at what you just did. So he faced a decision. Does he go through with teaching the Bible lesson or doesn't he? First he thought, no, I can't. My conscience condemns me. But then he was reminded of 1 John 1:9, and he went off on a corner and prayed and not only received God's forgiveness, which is part of that verse, but also the cleansing that goes with it. The forgiveness, the cleansing is the subjective part. And he waited before the Lord long enough to know that even though the images were in his mind, those images had been not only forgiven, but he was cleansed from their power. He would have been wise if he'd have thought of Micah chapter 8, verse 7, where the Bible says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Though I fall, I shall rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. And he went and he taught his Bible class. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you know, you're minimizing sin. No, I'm not minimizing sin. I'm magnifying grace. The grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men. The first lesson is the lesson of grace. The second lesson is the lesson of deliverance. I'm now in verse 12. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see, the grace that saves us is the grace that trains us. It's not God's intention that you and I would live the Christian life. Sin, ask forgiveness. Sin, ask forgiveness. No, God has something better than that in mind for all of us. He says that the same grace that saves us in the depths of our sin is the same grace that grants us the power to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled. Now, you and I know that that's not a matter of the will. It's not a matter of the human will that says, I am going to change, which is where many of you may be, and you are headed for a fall. It's a matter of depending upon what Christ has already done. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, was thinking of other things that he had written, such as in the book of Romans, that we can consider ourselves dead indeed unto sin because we died with Christ. And it says in Romans chapter 8 that we through the Spirit must put to death the deeds of the body, that we can live. It is through Christ's power. Let me put it clearly, and I hope it will be clear for you. You could go through the New Testament and discover that every command is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's all based on what he's already accomplished. So you are not left helplessly in the midst of your struggle. You are to make sure that you renounce this. And by the way, I haven't emphasized it enough. God has worked it so that we really can't do this independently without fellowship and accountability. But that's a separate story we'll talk about later. Notice that it really comes down ultimately to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, from my heart to yours today, as a personal testimony, the thing that has motivated me to deal with secret sin in my life, the greatest motivation, is my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that Jesus is grieved because of my sin. And when I realize that, because I love him, you can rationalize it all, but you remember David, against thee and thee only have I sinned. When Joseph was tempted, you remember what he said, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? He said, what I will do will hurt God. And the more you and I love God and love his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the more willing we will be to say whatever it is that God requires, I will do. So there's a lesson here, and it is a lesson also of obedience and a lesson of deliverance. We've had a lesson of forgiveness, of deliverance, and now a lesson on focus. This is Pastor Luther. I just want to thank you for listening to Running to Win today. It's so gratifying when I have the opportunity of being out of the city of Chicago and traveling and coming to your area to discover that we have so many people who listen and appreciate this ministry. But many of you have never connected with us. As you know, we need the support of many people to continue these ministries, but we are so grateful, especially for your prayers. And you know, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we would be greatly encouraged if we were to hear about it. And you can connect with us at moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. And tell us what Running to Win means to you. You know, of course, that we're in the middle of a series of messages titled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. I've said it before, and you may hear me say it again. I don't think that I've ever preached a series of messages as critical as this series. All of us are bombarded today by sensual images. The question is, how do we respond? God has called us to holiness. Is it possible? And so I deal with issues such as addictions, how to resist temptation, and so forth. Thanks again for listening, and I hope that you'll be back here right next time and call a friend. Invite them also to listen to Running to Win. And God bless you. You have a good day all day.
Erwin Lutzer with more of What Grace Teaches Us. Another message on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Next time, the one bottom line reality that will convince us to make right moral choices. This 6-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.